Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
And tonight's date is Monday, November 27th, 2023. And unfortunately, it's not going to be a fun podcast this week because we are going to be talking about the loss to Michigan over the weekend. It's the third straight loss to Michigan. So a lot of emotions, a lot of anger, a lot of sadness. Mixed in just with a lot of questions. So I think we'll spend the first little bit of the show. It's not going to be a too long one tonight. I think everybody has now heard a bunch of takes from both fans on Twitter and other social media sites and a lot of the different podcasts that cover Ohio State. So a lot of takes out there. So we're not going to go too crazy tonight on everything. We'll probably do maybe a show later on here in the next couple of weeks as we start decompressing from the season and get ready for the bowl game. Obviously some other stuff might happen. Who knows? We'll see what happens if, you know, there is still obviously an outside shot. Ohio State could make the playoff, but we are not prepping for that right now.
No.
We're just, if it surprises us like it did last year, we'll roll with the punches, but you know, we'll just be you know, as we like I said, kind of start decompressing through all this stuff. So the game finished 30-24. Like I said, you know, it was a loss. We kind of talked about this you know, on Saturday. I think the loss itself, because obviously it doesn't look as bad as the previous two seasons. I think it just, if somehow, if they would have got one of those two games, I think the loss looks a little differently just because, you know, as this rivalry goes, you know, there's a lot of wild swings in it. As we've seen over the last 20 years, we were pretty dominant in it. Prior to that, Michigan was pretty dominant in it. So Michigan was always due in this rivalry. 2021 kind of felt like that. Last year, I think there's a lot of people that were pretty confident, you know, going into that game that we would get that one back. We didn't, obviously, you know, obviously now there's a lot of controversy around those two games, but as of now, they are what they are. This year was kind of the one, you know, now to seem like to get that one back, and we didn't. So I think if, you know, I think in general, if one of those two games would have been won, I think this game just looks differently. It's just like, okay, it was a hard fought game. It was a hard fought game. I mean, I don't think you can say that, you know, Ohio State was pushed around. You know, I don't think you can say that they weren't necessarily ready for the game. It's just, you know, a couple boo-boos happened on the Ohio State side, and Michigan, I mean, some of the crazy throws you think that JJ made, it seemed like they got them all. So we're, and that's where we talked about intangibles. The intangibles can win games like this and lose games like this. And that, to me, and you can get on some of the coaching stuff. Yeah. I'm a little frustrated with how the defense looked in spots, you know, maybe not being as aggressive, but again, a couple miscues on offense differently. And, you know, it's a different game. And so it just, it's still, so that's just kind of like my thought on just everything as just a whole looking into the game.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It was, you know, you had a chance to win it the last possession of the game. I mean, that's kind of like an NFL. That's how NFL games go. You know, you got that last shot. I think you would have liked to get the ball back with more than a minute left on the clock. Sometimes that's just how these things happen. But I mean, let's just quickly talk about, you said the boo-boos. Let's talk about where we lost this game.
So to me, obviously the interception is the glaring one in the first half. I mean, you can say you can say a lot of different things, but that spotted them a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, yes, it would have been nice if you would have held them to a field goal, but they were getting points out of it. I mean, that was definitely giving them points. But even prior to that, you know, there's a bad throw or a bad throw to Marv prior to that, like right before that would have been a first down. And then Abuka drops a pass on the opening series that would have at minimum been a first down right there. But I mean, Kyle hit him in stride and, you know, he seemed like he had the guy split. And I think that he could have I didn't watch an all 22. So I don't know where guys were behind him and where angles were, but I don't see how at worst that's not well over 20 yards. Like, yeah. You know, and I think it could have been a house call. So like, that's obviously a big one. You have to have stuff like that in these games. I mean, you know, Abuka has to make that catch. Obviously the interception, you know, it was an RPO that either goes to Trey or it goes to Marv. And from what I saw from watching the game, Kyle McCord made the right call. You know, the linebackers pursued Trey, even though I think that there was an opportunity there for Trey. I think that it was going to be well blocked. I mean, it seemed like there was everybody was out on their blocks. So I think that, you know, Trey could have had a nice run there, but the correct call was you're spying the linebackers, which way they go. Does one stay in the middle of the field or do they all pursue the run? They all pursued the run. So I think I would have liked, you know, I mean, Kyle put it out in front of Marv, which is what you're supposed to do. Did he put it too far out? I don't know. What's his face? Jumped the route.
Yeah. Will Johnson was playing back. Like, I think Kyle needed to put a better throw together, but you can finish. It was a bad throw, but it was poor effort.
Yeah. I thought it was poor effort as well by Marv. And I thought Marv was a little lackadaisical on that slant. I mean, if it's an RPO, you have to run hard to the spot and you know, the spot, I mean, you are literally trying to where the linebackers are vacating, you are trying to, take over from there. So that was just my thought on that. Mm-hmm. And then the other big thing I thought in the first half is, you know, Kyle missed an obvious touchdown to Cade and, you know, he threw it on the wrong shoulder. And that was, and I'm sorry. I mean, in the heat of the moment, you know, throws are hard and stuff like that. I get that, but you got to make that throw. Yeah. I mean, the defender is on the inside of Cade. So don't throw it to the inside of Cade. I mean, nobody was on the outside of Cade and he was going to catch it like at the two. And you know, he just has to fall forward or at the five, yeah, or whatever it was. I mean, it was a touchdown. I mean, maybe the guy gets him down at the one. I don't think so. You know, we've seen plays like that our whole, you know, as long as I've watched football, usually the tight end wins that one for six. And
Cade's a strong dude. I mean, like you said, the guy's on his inside. That's a lot of leverage Cade has to the outside there that it's going to be hard to take him down. So I agree with you that it probably is a touchdown. Cade, on the other hand, made a very high effort play to break that interception up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely approved of that one because that could have very easily been picked again. So, you know, first half from what I really remember, obviously I haven't watched the game again, there's mistakes in there from Kyle and there's some mistakes in there from the receivers. I didn't think Day called any bad game. I thought he was on all those plays in the first half that I could think of. He was pretty much on his calls. He was ready for everything, it felt like. And, you know, I thought again, maybe Kyle in different spots had way too much happy feet. And, you know, the line I thought blocked fairly well from him. Michigan did get a little pressure in it, but you know, they didn't have a lot of glaring pressure on him. And I think that, you know, Kyle made some obvious mistakes that again, he rushes it when he doesn't need to rush it. And maybe he holds on to it a little too when
he does be quicker. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So it's like, there's just something, and I get it, first year start, but it just seemed like issues from early in the season are still there.
I kind of want to go back to that one here in a little bit, but we'll touch on it in a little bit. I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off. What else?
I mean, that's to me the first half. The second half, I think you can boil everything down to everything that happened in the first half, everything that happened in the fourth quarter, that it comes down to three basic series in the third quarter, though. So Ohio State pounds the run right down the field, goes, ties the game at 17, have all the momentum at that point. And then I think this is where Jim Knowles really messes up. He should have come out with the mindset and maybe go check with Ryan Day or whatever. He's the head coach that, hey, I'm going to turn up the pressure on this series because it's obvious their defense is gas. So, you know, if we can get them out on the field three and out, great. Somehow, if they break one and score a touchdown and go up on us on 24-17, well, you know what? We're going to push. We're putting the defense back out there right away. And, you know, you are having success on offense now. So I think this is the spot where we need to start really going after them on defense. They didn't do that. Michigan drives the field. You think that Ohio State has maybe a little bit better of a game plan after the big injury to, was it Zinter? Is that how you Zinter. Say his last name? And, you know, Corum counter, bad angle, bad attempt by Sonny, 6 points. So they drive, they go on a big drive. And then Ohio State, the next series, goes three and out. And a bad throw by Kyle. This time it's not Mbuka's fault, you know. I mean, he is wide open. I mean, you called it. You said he's like, Abuka's wide open, like right before the snaps. This, and like the quarterback has to see that, like, my God. And you either, it's one of two options. You either throw a dart immediately and, you know, to him and let him go take off on it. Or if you're going to put air on it, you throw the air immediately let him go full speed and run it down.
Yeah. Let him split that safety like he was already doing and let him run by him.
Yeah. And that's, and by waiting and then throwing the air, he lets the safety get back into the play. And so, and he
could have at least like tried to look the safety off too. If he saw that, like, look like you're going to your left and then go back to Buka, you know, like,
So that was definitely where I had it. And then in the fourth quarter, I felt they were taking too much time on the first touchdown. I felt that they needed to try to move down the field a little quicker. And, you know, just because Michigan's offense is Michigan's offense, I figured that obviously they were going to try to do a long gated 4 minute drive, you know, and, you know, that's 4 minute offense there. It's, you know, they're trying to hold the ball as long as possible. And they did. And yeah,
you would like it for 7 minutes.
You would like to get them get a stop in there, but you know, I think if they would have maybe tried to score a little faster, they might have had 2 minutes in the game or 2:30. I don't know. And that would have maybe changed a little bit on that last drive. I think the third quarter out of everything though, those series, that letting Michigan have a drive after you just had a drive and really, you know, put their defense on their back heels, and then the three and outs ultimately what cost them. That was, you know, so it's a defensive bad series and it's an offensive bad series. And there's a lot of other things you can say throughout the game, but to me, that's where those, in a game like that, that's where I specifically can look at those two series and be like, if those two series were different, you know, Ohio State wins this game. Like,
I said while we were watching the game and after that, I didn't care about Day's decision at the end of the half. I still kind of feel that way because I don't think a lot of people are putting into consideration that it was a fourth down. But if I was Day, I might still line up like I was going to go for it. Hindsight's 20/20, you know, like in the heat of the moment, I don't know what the hell I would have done. But if you line up and you force Sherrone Moore to use one of his two remaining timeouts, maybe then you're a little bit more comfortable trying to, you know, take a shot or, you know, trying to extend the drive, because then and maybe Sherrone Moore does it. Maybe he's just happy with, you know, hey, we will try to stop them. But if you rush up to the line, maybe he feels like he doesn't have the right personnel, whatever. I think you just have a plan there, you know, and then if you got to call timeout, you call timeout and you reassess from there, you know, what's worth it, what's not. but I didn't like 52 yards is a lot for a college quarterback to begin with, especially a guy that's never even like tried one. Like, I just think that right there, I thought was a little too much to put on Fielding. But I don't know. Like I said, it might have been the wrong decision. Running the clock out and trying to chase three there wasn't horrible. I mean, you're still 14-10.
No, I think I've been back and forth, as you know.
It's a long field goal, though, is my only problem. It's a
long field goal. You know, if they call the timeout right there and they let, you know, and Michigan stops them. And, you know, we've had plenty of our short yardage issues this year. And you're like, it's a lose-lose situation. Yeah. If Ryan Day goes immediately for it and they stop him and then they go get a field goal and then they still start the next half off with a field goal, that's a different type of hole you're putting in. Mm-hmm. Now you're into, and you're still behind even if you go score a touchdown. You know, if he makes it, and he had plenty of leg on it, he could have made it. He made the first one when they on the Sherome Moore's timeout. But so he did make it, and then the leg was there on the second one. It happens. It's hard to gauge those. It's hard to gauge which way the wind is going to take it as it's moving through the air. You know, so it just sucks, and so. If some of the other situations I just mentioned about were different and it still came down to that field goal was, then maybe I would have a different opinion on it. But right now I'm okay with the decision. I don't think it was a bad decision. Yeah. So like, that's my thought process on that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't disagree. Like I said, 100% with that. I'm just like, I mean, me as a fan, yeah, hindsight, I could say whatever I want, but in the heat of the moment, man, I mean, that is a big risk. Cause if you go for it, you leave 30 seconds on the clock. They still have two timeouts, you know, that's a lot can happen. I mean, I would bet that it would have been hard for them to convert all that because, you know, JJ wasn't having a great game passing, but then, you know, what do you give up for that? Cause JJ's legs can still pick up stuff. Yeah. He was hitting the tight ends, you know, for short.
Their tight ends were working. So,
yeah. There is a lot to give up. I don't think it was any, like, I don't know. Everyone says he didn't trust his quarterback, but he trusts his defense. I don't know. It's what it is. I mean, you can play that out, you know, 100 different times or 100 times to get 100 different solutions. It is what it is with that. The one I actually, looking back to early in the game, they're on like their, I think there's 10 minutes left in the first quarter, second drive of the game. And they're on probably their own 45, something like that. And Xavier Johnson, like, should have got a first down, or at least he should have been an inch short at most. And they mark him like a yard and a half short or a yard short. And there was no just like fussing for a spot or a review or taking a timeout you know, you could have got a review. They could have looked at it and you could have been like quarterback sneak position then. Like, I just, that one, I thought that was a little bit of coaching issues, but it's early in the game. I don't know. If you go for there, like, I don't think you lose, you know, if you go down 7-0 there because you're aggressive, I don't think you lose the game. And I think Ryan has to remember that sometimes is you need a little, you can't just be businesslike in this game. Like, there needs to be a little something extra, you know, you got to go for stuff. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be on fourth down. Like, Drone Moore did a toss pass with Donovan Edwards on, it was either first or second down, I believe. And then was it the very next play? He has a backup quarterback come in and run a QB power.
Yeah. Something like that.
You don't have to take, it doesn't have to be the ultimate risk on fourth down. You could take it on first down and reassess from there if it doesn't work. Like, but
yeah,
you got to do extra things. It's not always in an area of desperation. Sometimes it's just, we're doing this to catch these guys off guard on first down. Like, who would have expected? I mean, I expected it when Donovan Edwards got that toss. I'm like, oh shit, he's going to throw the ball. But you know, everyone else from Ohio State bit and came downhill.
Yeah. And I don't get why, you know, on some of those things, maybe that on that fourth and two from the, you know, where they chose to go with a field goal, or maybe on that where you, the play you're talking about now, you know, why not use the Devin Brown package there? And yeah, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a red zone package. Like, it could be a, you know, especially when you think about the, some of the red zone stuff, Ohio State was fine in the red zone. They, you know, they had a couple nice passes for touchdowns.
Yeah. And stuff. Finally, you know, they dialed up some, so maybe that was it. Maybe they saved their short passing, you know, for the Michigan game in the red zone. And I don't, yeah,
but Michigan, would Michigan been ready on 10 minutes left in the first quarter or whatever it was? And, you know, you throw Devin Brown out there. Yeah, you might be at the 45, but, you know, and, you know, you can do some different things with that. Maybe he hands it off to Trey on a read, on a zone read or right, something.
Or he like keeps that. It read because yeah, he gets the look because he's good at
that. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I agree with that one. All right. So, kind of the game in a nutshell, I would say, unless you want to hit anything else about the specifics, we're going to kind of,
now, you know, I'm ready to move on.
Let's talk about some kind of, we each picked kind of three bigger topics that, you know, obviously this is the third loss, you know, so what do we need to do to fix this? What do we need to do going into next season, just in, as a whole? So I'll let you start and then you'll go, I'll go, you go, I'll go. And then we both kind of have one of the three is the exact same thing, and it deals with coaching. So we'll deal with the coaching one last, since we both have that one, and that's how we'll go. So start us off with kind of your thoughts here.
Well, I think all mine kind of all kind of deal in a way with coaching, but I just think that in the program, they need to figure out a way to be more intense in their leadership, man. I mean, I don't know. And maybe that's just not something they show on the sidelines anymore. But back in the day, man, JT Barrett, when, you know, if it was good or bad, he'd be screaming at his guys on the sideline, just getting them ready for the next drive. Like we heard like from Berm earlier today, and I know this is getting blown out of proportion, but James Laurinaitis was the only one like getting in his guys' faces and directing them, you know, what's our next move? And I just think that you need that intensity back into, you know, this is not just another game. It's not business as normal, you know, and this is a good team now too. Like this is a top five program. You got to come in with a little extra juice, man. Like they were talking about, Kyle McCord was constantly like in the pregame was saying, no mistakes, no mistakes, no mistakes. Like JT Barrett would have said no mistakes. JT Barrett would have said, play your ass off. If you make a mistake, we're going to get it back on the next series. Like,
yeah.
And that's just, I just feel like that's missing just leadership. And I know people say like no dogs or too many nice guys on the team. And I think there is some truth to that, but man, these guys, they just, they, I've noticed it. And this goes back to Stroud too. Like he's not getting a pass. Like, when things don't go right for them, they just go into a shell and like look stunned on the sidelines in between series. Or if things do are fine, you know, they laugh and sit next to each other and whatever. And maybe they don't need to get all rah rah then when things are going well. But I just don't see a constant, not only just from the coaches, but from the team itself. They're not coaching each other up and helping push the guy next to them in game. Yeah. Like you can have as many hype videos as you want, but man, if it don't translate to the field, what's the point?
Yeah.
So that's one for me.
I wonder, just to kind of piggyback off of that, I wonder if some of the competition stuff that Urban Meyer put into the program, is some of that stuff still there? And what I mean by that is Urban Meyer, you know, winners got steaks, losers got hot dogs. And, you know, that was a big deal. And, you know, it's, and I don't know, maybe some of that stuff is just there. They just don't highlight it as much like that. But like, you know, the team that lost the spring game, they did yard work. There is some of that stuff where you're just literally competing on every single, like, moment. Are they still doing the circle drills? Or were the quarterbacks... when the quarterbacks wanted to jump in there and do the circle drills. And like, I don't know if some of that stuff is still being done. And I think some people roll their eyes on that. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Oh, and when it comes to competing for like, I'm going to go get that yard, like, and you know, you're going to go get that yard. And you know, I'm going to, obviously the quarterbacks and some of these position groups are better than anything Meyer had and anything Tressel had, but there was a different, I think sometimes in a different intensity to some of that stuff. And, you know, and I don't know if that stuff is still there.
Like our receivers are better than anything Meyer ever had, but I don't know, half the time, like if I needed a receiver to block somebody, I'd go with Meyer's guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think our receivers work that hard to get open anymore. I don't know what's going on, but there's something just, I think a lot of guys are just resting on their laurels when it comes to coaching. And I'll let you go take your first one now. I'm going to my second one.
Let's hold off on the coaching because me and Bo, you both have ideas about, I think that there needs to be some changes in leadership. So we'll do that one last. So my first one is going to be, I think they need to reopen. I think, you know, especially you hear Aaron Nolan's coming here in January and stuff like that. And I get a quarterback competition. Guys could transfer like that. We can't just rest on the idea that Kyle McCord's the starter again next year. I know Day's thing. He likes to get his guy. You do the growing pains and stuff like that. And then you go let that guy go the next year. Well, I didn't see enough improvement from Kyle McCord from game one to game 12 that I saw in CJ Stroud, or I saw even in Justin Fields. And so, even Dwayne Haskins.
Year three in the program. And this is start number 13. He started against Akron as a true freshman. There was not a drastic enough upgrade from Akron in 2021 to Michigan in 2023 for me to say he's the starter going into next year.
Yeah. I believed 100% that CJ Stroud was the starter going into 2022. Yep. I am like everything I saw in 2021. I'm like, there were some things I had some nitpicking about. I still thought he should take off more than he did, but you know what? I saw by halfway through that season, you know, he sat down in that game for his shoulder injury and, you know, and it was injured, but it was also to kind of reset his mind and stuff like that. And he came out and he looked like a different guy from the first few starts in the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he kind of turned the corner and we see what CJ Stroud is now. And I'm not saying Kyle McCord's a bad quarterback and we don't need CJ Stroud and Justin Fields every year, but we need a competent guy this is kind of out of the two quarterbacks that day, you know, JJ McCarthy. Yeah. He could have easily thrown a couple picks, but he didn't throw a couple picks and he got first downs with his feet and with his arm when they needed him to get first downs with it. And there's gotta be some people in this program that knowing that he wanted to come to Ohio State been like, well, what would JJ McCarthy look like with our wide receivers?
Right.
Does he have the dog mentality that, you know, we kind of want one of these guys to have? And so Devin Brown and Kyle, they had a competition, we didn't really get to see a lot of Devin Brown.
It's going to be a 4-person competition next year though.
Keen Holtz is in there. Aaron Nolan's going to be in there. Like, I think we got to open back up and they need to all be told, hey, from day one, when January starts, like you guys are all being judged against each other and, you know, it's best guy's going to win this thing. And, you know, and that's leadership. That is what you look during the spring, but it also it's what you look in the weight room and, you know, are you yelling at your offensive lineman because they should be squatting 600 pounds that day and they're only squatting 550 pounds that day? Well, so be it. You're the man, man.
I don't know if a lineman's going to take that from a quarterback, but a quarterback does need to be the loudest person on the team.
Yeah, you got to be that guy, you know, and like you were saying about JT and stuff like that. Well, JT was that guy.
Exactly.
And JT doesn't have the skill set that any of these guys had, but you know what? Justin Fields was that guy too. And like, from what I've heard between Dwayne and CJ, even though they're quieter, when they needed to be in people's faces, they got to be. We saw that at times with CJ. I just didn't see stuff like that from Kyle. And I just think that guy needs to be the leader. He needs to be the heart and soul of the whole offense and one of the main heart and soul of the whole team. And so that's my knock on Kyle. It's just, I didn't see that stuff this year. And I wish I did.
Okay. Yeah. I know that's kind of, I don't know. Like, and we're going to talk about coaches here in a minute. So I just want to, how is it a huge failure? And I'm not going to blame Dave because he is not the quarterback coach. Is it a huge failure of Corey Dennis that Colin McCord is not ready as a five star in year three?
Yes,
I agree. Okay.
It's also, it is also a mistake on Ryan Day. Ryan Day takes that responsibility on himself that he is a lot of these different hats he's wearing. And I will get to that. And when we talk about coach here in a minute, because that does need to change. But, you know, yes, Corey Dennis, you know, he needs to take the, he needs to show, Ryan Day needs to like see in him that, okay, I trust him that I don't need to be doing all this stuff with the quarterbacks.
Yeah. Like, you know. Yeah. I just, I mean, you talked about the guys before. I mean, Justin Harley played in 2018, and I know you can't compare Justin Fields to Kyle McCord athletically, you know, physically, anything about the two, but he hardly played in 2018. He did get here in January. Kyle got here in January, I'm pretty sure, of his freshman year. Justin was ready to be a starter, man. Year two as a collegiate athlete, year one at Ohio State. Kyle's in year three, and he still wasn't ready to start. It's just, I can't fathom it. My next one though was just kind of figure out, just be more situationally ready in game. And that's both for defense and for offense. And I don't want to go too hard at Knowles's defense here because, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, threes don't win in this game. Knowles held Michigan to more field goals than what Michigan held Ryan Day's offense to. So I think Knowles did a nice job, but man, like you said, you got to dial up pressure, get that ball back. And even if it is, you know, a big touchdown with what, I mean, they go up 24-17 anyways. So if it's a big touchdown, you get the ball back in quarter three with a bunch of time left in the game, as opposed to quarter four, you know, it's, you got a lot more time to operate, man. So then you go 24-24 in the fourth quarter and they still have more time. So yeah, I agree. You gotta be, and just again, Day could have been more aggressive. Like, I don't think Day called a, you know, conservative game, but I think he did call, he was not as creative as what he was. And I'm not sure he had to be. I mean, we moved the ball okay against Michigan, but there were counter plays that we were running for, we were building off of a set. Every week it was something different off of the same play. I'm not sure I saw it once. Like, what was the point? Just so they had to, like, don't you want to show that? So it's like, which play are they going to run off of this? Instead of just like, we're going to give them all the film, but we're never going to put it out there. Like,
yeah. And Ryan Day has fallen into that issue before where he's kind of
creatively
leading up to leading a big game. He throws a bunch of creativity out there and then you don't kind of see it as much in that game. And I agree with you. Instead of showing a play for now, what, six straight weeks, it feels like, and where you literally show something different every week. Well, for whatever this week is, show something different off the play, you know, or maybe, you know, do two of those things that you've done in previous week and then show a different thing. But it's like, well, we'll just have them. They got to think that maybe we'll do it. And I just don't, we saw that pop pass last week where we could have maybe done some stuff off of that. There's different things they've ran in the last few weeks where I think that, you know, like, okay, that's like, and it's nice that they held some of the red zone stuff back because they were ready to throw the ball this week in the red zone.
Yeah.
But you could still have that in your back pocket too. You'd be like, okay, we haven't really shown a lot of red zone passing this year. We'll show that in this game. But guess what? I can still do different things, you know, with some of my play calling in different spots. So,
yeah. So, I mean, that was my number two, is just, I don't think they weren't ready for the moment situationally. And they treated this game kind of play calling from the play calling aspect. They treated it like any other game. And I mean, this is against a top five team, a good top five team, that it's also the biggest rivalry that you need something extra to win this game.
Yeah.
On the road, like, you need to pull stuff out, man.
Yeah. Okay. My next one deals with recruiting. Ohio State's a great recruiting school. We all know that, you know, top level, they've been that way for a long time. You know, Urban Meyer turned it up a notch, but there is a certain aspect of player that is missing off the team.
The dogs.
Where is the James Laurinaitis that's the three-star out of Minnesota? Where is the A.J. Hawk that's the three-star out of Ohio? And linebacker, it's nothing against those guys. Just they were not ready for this game. The tight ends were running way too free. And we know there's some talent behind them. And maybe, you know, we kind of talked about them. Well, maybe it's like it's a double-edged sword. I don't think that they're necessarily getting some of the guys that are the grunt workers, the hard workers that are just mean and in your face. And like, you know, they're going to get their face bloodied up and like people are going to follow them because those guys are the leaders and because they see them out there getting their ass kicked every day because, you know, they just want it more than you want it. Michigan's got players like that and they've, you know, and now they're starting to add in some of the better high star kids to it, but they still, Harbaugh has his identity. He goes out and looks for some of those guys. I just don't think we look for some of those guys anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of that double-edged sword is that we still seem like that maybe when we have a better guy on the bench, and I don't know what these kids do in practice. I'm not there, but you know, I want to see more of CJ Hicks. I want to see more of Gabe.
CJ Hicks like, could have played earlier against anybody this year, you know, outside of maybe like, Notre Dame.
Yeah. I want to see more of these kids. Like, can these guys, is CJ Hicks the dude that could run with Michigan's tight ends? Is Gabe Powers the guy that could come up and make sure that frickin' doesn't, is there instead of Sonny Styles having to come up and do it? Is the guy that makes sure Blake Corum doesn't get loose on that touchdown run. Like, you know, is there other guys out there? And there's been issues this year with the linebackers where they've just been out of position on some of these, on just some of the stuff with the running motion has gotten them this year.
I mean, and we talk about Sonny. If you rewatch that touchdown with Corum, unless it's the 14 yarder at the end of the game, I might be thinking the wrong one. I'm pretty sure it's the touchdown though. Like Sonny is, you know, caught, you know, in the hole there and Corum obviously, you know, makes the move and Sonny can't get to him. It's a bad angle, but Steele is actually like, he's in good position on the lineman, but Steele keeps like, he flows away from where Corum was. If he flows to his right there, he hits Corum in the hole. I mean, he has a lineman on him, so I'm not sure he can make the tackle, but it slows him up. Sonny makes a tackle then, but instead Steele flows to his left and then just leaves Sonny on the one-on-one. And not that Sonny should have been able to make the play. He absolutely should have, but it would have just helped him out a lot, man. If the linebacker would have just made the right read, and we've just seen it so much this year. And, you know, I'm not sure CJ couldn't have learned by game 13, you know, what he was doing in that, or game 12, what he's doing in that situation, that it doesn't make a bigger impact. Like you said, who knows? I mean, athletically, maybe CJ can get back and make a play on one of those balls thrown to the tight end, or wrap up Loveland on that big, you know, gain he had when Tommy just didn't look healthy and like looked like he could only try to tackle him with one arm, you know? Like,
So I think some of the thing,
you got to get more athletic at linebacker.
You got to get point more blank. Athletic. And I think you just need some, and you kind of find some more of these dogs. And maybe these are a couple more kids from Ohio. And this is
Glenville recruiting's coming back, my man.
This is going to sound a little sacrilegious, and I don't want it to. And, you know, for the people listening, you know, I'm sure that somebody's going to take a lot of offense to this. I love our wide receiver recruiting. I love what it's done, all this stuff, but I've been thinking very hard about this. For how many years now in a row have we taken 3 and 4 of these guys every year? Maybe instead of a year we take 4, maybe we only take 3. Maybe instead of the years we take 3, we only take 2. We still take 5 and 4 star kids. These are still the kids that are still going to help us out. These are still the Marvs and the Ibukas and the Chris Olaves and the Garrett Wilsons. And, you know, hopefully we still keep what's his face for next year. I can't think of it right now. Jeremiah Smith. So hopefully we still do this. And, you know, I love the Roger guys, you know, and Ennis and Tate, all these guys. I love them all.
Tate just on the field on Saturday. That was bad too.
And Fleming had a good keep though. So like, I'm not gonna,
he did.
I
agree, but what's with him fumbling on the last? I mean, I understand that they recovered, but you fumble on the last series of the game.
Yeah, that sucked. But, you know, at least they got it back and then they screwed up.
The next play is the interception, right?
Yeah. So, I love all this. But the offensive line recruiting is not where it needs to be at.
No.
The linebacker recruiting is not where it needs to be at. You know,
and those are
and that's probably the two I can think of, but you probably still, I mean, if this is going to be a safety driven defense, you still need some of the safeties. So maybe instead of taking so many wide receivers, drop one of them and concentrate adding another person at one of those positions. And like, cause you need to start bringing the competition level up in those rooms. And if you only have so many guys in those rooms, like adding another guy or two into those rooms that, you know, somebody's looking behind him, like, man, Joe, whatever, he's kicking ass back there. Now I got to bump up my game because that dude might take my job. And like, I don't think that some of that stuff is in there. And that's what I'm talking about, that maybe we need a couple more dogs. I love all the receivers have, but at the end of the day, there's still only one football. And as long as you can put three competent wide receivers out there, that, you know, if you have six really good wide receivers that are your guys that you can put pretty much three competent ones out there and they're going to get touchdowns and they're going to, you know, get first downs and stuff like that, that is really good. And you throw a Jeremiah Smith and you get a Carnell Tate and a Brandon Ennis next year. Damn. I love that one. But do we need all the Rodgers and all these other guys behind him too? We need some of those guys behind him. But do we need as many as we do? I mean, we already have one class. What was a couple of years the class that we brought in Burton? Like, none of those guys are going to get used because, like, you know, I know Burton left. Like, that whole class has been obsolete. So, like, you know, those could have all been, some of those guys could have been different players.
And I mean, it's not always a one to one, but you got to improve in the other areas. I mean, you can't just say, like, You can't trade Keon Graves for, you know, the top safety that year, because it just doesn't work that way. But you can have, and I think this is going to go my biggest point of my third. And I mean, can we jump into the third now?
Let's go coaching.
I mean, I am going to say people need to get fired. But my biggest thing with coaching is just the guys that have stayed over from the Urban Meyer era, they're resting on their laurels too much, man. And it's just, I'm not saying fire Tony Alford, but like, running back recruiting has been way too inconsistent and I'm not sure the development there has been great. I still like Tony. I don't think Tony needs to get fired. I think guys need to start coaching like they're scared they're going to get fired again, though. And that is something that I think has left since Urban left. I think it's a country club there. I think everyone is just happy with what they're doing. And that's not meaning they're not trying to get better. I don't think they're pushing themselves to the limit to get their group better, though. I think the defense, like, I have no problem with Eliano. I have no problem with Tim Walton. I think Jim Knowles is good. I think James Laurinaitis is going to do great. I love Larry Johnson's recruiting. I think Larry Johnson still develops at a high clip. I think once he finally figured out what he wanted out of his defensive linemen this year, they started playing better. But I don't think Larry Johnson and Jim Knowles I don't think they can afford to not be on the same page with each other. And Jim Knowles has to take precedent there. And I think Berm said it either like in Snap Judgment or this morning with Bill Landis from the podcast. I don't think there was a time where Jim Knowles wasn't considering going like an odd man front or going to a 5-man front against Michigan when things were going to get tough. But Larry is very hesitant that he always wants it to be a 4-down lineman front that they use. And I mean, I don't know. You can't tell me I'm wrong because it didn't happen, but don't you think 5 defensive linemen could have helped against Michigan in that last series that they had, that they ran 7 minutes off the clock? Yeah. I do. JJ made every great throw you could think of in that game, but he wasn't doing anything like crazy on you. You know, you put your 5 guys, if he hits the throws, you live with it, but you're trying to stop what they do best. And I would be okay with that. So That's one for me is like,
agree with that.
Intensity has to come back to the coaches, man. They got to be coaching like they're coaching for their jobs every play. And I'm fine with that culture. And I know you don't want guys maybe on eggshells or whatever. I'm fine with that culture, though, that one, they're not afraid to be aggressive, but two, like, they know that they got to get more out of their players. They got to get more intensity effort out of their players. And that starts with them. And then I'll go, and I already mentioned, I mean, Parker Fleming's a given. Like, he has to go. James Laurinaitis needs to be promoted to full-time defense or full-time linebacker coach with the added responsibilities of the special teams coach. And if there's other guys that can assist him with that role, that's fine. But he needs to go, and I think Corey Dennis needs to go. And I said, and the biggest reason, I mean, because it falls on Ryan Day also. Ryan Day's not going to fire himself, though. Kyle McCord should have been more ready. He should have been developed throughout this season when he wasn't ready, and it never happened. And I just can't. And that Kyle made strides. I'm not going to say Kyle was worse today than he was against Indiana, because he wasn't. I think Michigan, he actually played a decent game, but he missed plays you can't miss. And he made the mistakes you can't make. And that just like, and that falls on Day and Dennis. And I think it's time that Ryan calls Urban, says, hey man, I know you got more connections out there, like, go get him a promotion somewhere. Let him, someone can make him a play caller or an offensive coordinator. It can be a MAC school. Like, he can go up to Bowling Green and he can start getting his feet wet there. But I just, he's holding, you know, he's not adding enough to what we're doing. Like, just having someone fill up a spot because you are the de facto quarterback coach and you don't care, like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, you got to have someone that adds some value. I'm not sure Corey adds enough to justify him being a full-time quarterback coach at Ohio State. I think Day has to look at himself too. And, you know, he needs to reach back out. And I know him and Urban still have a good relationship, but like, he needs to reach back out and like, give him Jim Tressel, like, get Tressel back into the program somehow. And Doug was talking about this on Kings of Columbus on the podcast, just like, Tressel needs to have an office back at the Woody, man. Like, you need those guys to know that they can come and go as they please and help your team out as much as possible.
Yeah.
So
I definitely,
that's where I would land though. That. You can, you know, add to it, please, but I would definitely get rid of two coaches and make the other ones know that, hey, it's time you guys start coaching for your jobs.
Yeah. I think my issue, I actually agree with the exact same two coaches you do. Parker, you know,
he's gone.
That's been well established. And it's not even
the fact that you gave him a raise is just insanity.
Even if the special teams was a little better, James, there's no reason why he can't do something else than just be the special teams coach.
Yeah.
And special teams hasn't been lights out. Like, I don't see Devin Hester and Josh Cribbs back there. You know, if I was seeing Ted Ginn Jr. back there returning like 4 or 5 kicks a season, I'd be like, well, I can't argue, at least with the production.
Right, right, right. Yeah, agreed. Yeah. You know,
I don't see that. And I don't see, I just don't see the benefit of having a guy that just is in charge of special teams.
Well, now that he's not even good at it. I mean, Mirko looked like he never punted the ball on Saturday.
Yeah. And the Michigan punter was damn good. And like, and for pretty much the whole game.
Right. And I don't think the punts really killed either team except the Michigan one. I mean, that's the first turnover, right? Isn't because we were backed up because of the punt.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. I don't really remember. I mean, it did put, I mean, it was a good punt though. So yes, James Laurinaitis needs to be because you need another defense assistant. Jim Knowles needs to just be, I mean, James is already basically doing linebackers. He's doing all the phone calls for the recruiting for linebackers. Linebackers, the good linebackers, the top linebackers in the country, and the grunt linebackers, so what we just got talked about, they need to see that dude's passion for his love of Ohio State, his passion for football, his ability to say, hey, I've been to the NFL. I know how to send you guys to the NFL. I know what you need to do. I've played at this level. I played at the next level. Right. So like, you know, that passion needs to be on the road in people's houses.
And James, I mean, think about it. It's a safety driven defense now. Like how many hybrid safety linebackers are out there anymore? Like, he could definitely, even if someone maybe is undersized to be linebacker, man, they could go down to safety or something and help in that aspect. But
yeah,
I think you want him there. You need him.
Yeah. And then on the offensive side, it's definitely falls on Corey Dennis. They need a different opinion there. And I don't know who that opinion is. I know some people have thrown out, like I've talked about possibly, you know, Guyton. He's done the coaching, you know, now there he's done coaching. I think he can do it. I know some people disagree that he has to be maybe at his position a little longer at Arkansas, you know, but I think he could be the man there. And I think he would be a hell of a recruiter. He understands Ohio State. He loves Ohio State. And I think he's the type of guy you would want in that position. But if they decide to go find a young guy outside of that, I'm fine too. They just need different. They need some different ideas in there too. And I think that would help Day out too. I love Day's play calling abilities and I love his offensive mind, but it doesn't hurt to have other smart guys around you and stuff. And then the other two coaches, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fry because of the Indiana job opening up. I would assume that
Duke's opening up too. So that's going to be Knowles is going to be considered there.
Yeah. So I just don't see Knowles taking another job, like a head coaching job. I could be wrong, but you know, I think he's done that before and he likes the idea of being a very, you know, intense special or defensive coordinator. So we'll see. But the two coaches, Alford and Larry, it comes down to, you know, do they still have 100% their heart in this to where they need to be? Do they have aspirations of, I don't think Larry does necessarily, but is he ready to retire? Like, you know,
damn.
I know he's talked about it before. If Larry is like semi considering it, like if I was Ryan Day, I'd just be like, look, man, we love you. Everybody in this program loves you. But if you think you want to retire, you should retire because like, if you just don't have the love for it anymore, it's a grind, man. You've done your job. You've done your duties. Like, you know, if it's time to hang it up and go spend more time with the family, it's time to hang it up and go spend more time with the family. Like, I'm sorry on that one. Like, I need you 100% here. Like, if you're here, like, you have to be mind, body, soul, everything is here. And then with Tony, it's, you know, is it time for a different ideals in that room? Maybe. I don't know. I really like Tony. I think he brings a great, you know, mentality to the position, but you know, he's just been there a long time as, you know, a new voice needed there.
Yeah.
And that might be the case. So no, I definitely agree with all you said and, you know, added, you know, the couple things I added. And I think Ryan Day, he really does need, he called a fine game, but he needs to be the CEO of the team. And like, you know, his input on offensive plays are needed. But Brian Hartline needs to see, can he duplicate that as a play caller? You know, Ryan Day just really does need to free himself up. And, you know, and Brian Hartline needs to see whether he can actually do it or not, because like he needs to be up in the booth. Like they need an offense that they need the offensive coordinator up in the booth to actually be able to see different things, you know, around him. Nothing against Corey, but Corey, whoever the quarterback coach is, can handle the Brian Hartline's duties on the field. And that's just my opinion. I think they need some different mentality in there. And, you know, that might go to the strength staff too. I don't know. You know, Mick's been there a while.
There's a lot of
controversy with some of that stuff, but you know, you maybe have to look at some of that stuff. Maybe it's time to start moving some pieces around. I don't know. I definitely agree with you on the coaches, the old coaches. Yeah, I think Jim Tressel should be somewhere in there that, you know, if Ryan Day can, hey, Coach Tressel, can I pick your brain for 10 freaking minutes? You know, yeah, come on in. You know, that's pretty cool, you know, and, you know, Jim Tressel talked about what an advantage having John Cooper and
Earl too, right?
Talk to him.
Did he have Earl?
Yeah, Earl
had an office.
And Urban had a lot of the same stuff and they talked and stuff like that. And I know the guys that live around Columbus. I know Bobby's there a lot. I know Zach Boren's there a lot, but they're also in the media. And I think that's where they get some benefits of doubt. Like, I want some of these other guys in there. Hey, Cardell, come talk to the team. Hey, JT, come talk to the team. Come work out with the team. You know, come do this, come do that. You know, like, get in these guys' faces. You know, Maurice Claret, you know, he's very vocal on social media on some of the stuff he talked. I want to see Maurice in there. Like, let's get some of these guys back in the, you know, I don't think there's enough of that. We've heard a lot of people say that there's not a lot of that anymore, that, you know, I want to see. That was kind of the thing. Urban really brought a lot of those guys back into the thing, you know, and Tressel had a decent amount, but I think Tressel ran a little different ship. And if Ryan Day wanted to be more like that, well, he needs to win these games against Michigan. You get a pass, not necessarily letting some of the old guys in the building when you beat Michigan and you're, you know, going on to the next level. So, like, if he wants a pass there, you got to win these games. And it's, yeah, this game looked a lot better than the previous two, but it still goes as an L.
It hurts. Yeah. Yeah. Like, right. So they didn't win
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there needs to be some different philosophies in that building. And, you know, I'm sorry, on Michigan week, if freaking, you know, I don't know, like, Bobby Carpenter and stuff. Like, I know what Bobby Carpenter's intensity level is. And, like, I think Bobby Carpenter, if he wants an Schlegel, if they want to be in there lifting weights on Michigan week and they get in somebody's face because they're just not doing the Ohio State standard, well, you know what? Tough love is sometimes the best thing. And sometimes it's best coming from a peer, a guy that's not a coach, but has done what the damn shit you've done. So, you know, and I think that's why having some of those guys there is important.
No, I agree for sure. All right.
Anything else? I'm pretty good with what we said.
Yeah, no, I'm good. So let's wrap this up. Thank you everyone for coming out tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.